Tane lan.
Oh Yamile Odo Baba She Isemi Saramahoe Yamile. This is a praise song to the Orisha Oshun, sung in ceremonies as a prayer to cleanse your house, particularly your body as the house for your spirit, and to ask for blessings for our global family in the Ukraine. And when I saw the bombing of the Palace of Fine Art, which was one of the first places bombed, as well as sacred sites there, I remembered that it was the last place I performed when I was there, and I just wept knowing that this beautiful place, this beautiful building, it was a beacon and a keeper of so much music and art and beauty, and it was gone in the blink of an eye, targeted because it holds the soul of their culture and community. And so we ask now, Oshun, the Orisha and goddess of love and art and beauty and children and family and life itself as sweet water, to protect all of us, particularly these places and people, and bring them quickly and gently to the heart of peace. So mote it be, Ashe Aho Amen.
Ah, thank you, Ami, accomplice for decades. I love the word accomplice. You know, our language for relationship is a little tedious, life partner, spouse, but accomplice, oh, spicier. We want positive intrigue. And so was that a little bit of a legba thrown in with the Oshun?
Yes, because it's opening up the house. It's opening up the road to the house.
Right. The guardian of the crossroads. Mm-hmm. And we use everything. We say metaphors and music are the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. And in tradition, one would take the waters and pour cool waters on any crossroads that one is near to yes. cool out the conflagration.
Yes.
So, team, thank you all for your participatory animism. Here we go. As we honor the enormity of now, and so we are gathering humbled that our rogue species cannot possibly resolve the innumerable cruelties we are inflicting on our kin by ourselves. It's by ourselves that got us into this horror, right? So everything tonight, you know, astrology says, well, Saturn says, you know, what is maturity? To have access to all of one's resources and all of one's skills. So the wonderful language really of science, as it will come to you, and astrology, mythology, and music yearns to make all of us available to all of us at this time of dire beauty. And we go, cooperators are standing by, and we call them in tonight, the flora fauna ancestors. But first,
Caroline, my darling, you are muted.
Uh-oh.
There we are. There you are. Yay.
Oh, Ogun, 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 how challenging he is. The god of machinery. We want, no, Ogun, we want you to break down all the machinery of war, not the machinery of communication. That's very funny. here we are. Whatever I said, it was fantastically brilliant, and there we have it. Okay, so now here we are. So I have... Yeah, and tell me whenever I go away again. But I have coyote hair from Stella Coyote, an actual coyote I lived with for 19 years, 2 months, 2 weeks, longer than I've lived with a human. It's kind of like a Chinese fairy tale. But she bequeathed this to us, you know, trickster medicine against all odds. It's the quality in nature that is seeds that sprout after cataclysm. It's beauty coming up out of destruction. So trickster Coyote says, oh, spirit of compassionate, liberating trickster arising within each one of us to correspond with that in nature, open the path for each one of us, that we may contribute our considerable gifts to the community in a way that is mysterious and fantastic. Whoa, there we go. Oh, there it is. So I also have, this is all part of, from the South African Sangomas. It is called Muti. That's a kind of Muti, Coyote Muti. Muti means power and medicine. True power is that which heals. And we don't source it, we invite it with our words, our language, our gestures, our gathering this night. You know, and it's the difference. It says true power is not dominance or control. We go, ah. So the Sangomas in South Africa, they said, oh, you were like a Sangoma too. I go, oh, I couldn't go through that training. They go, no, it's good enough. We grew this umpepu for you. Umpepu is a special kind of muti. They said, if you meet with good-hearted people who want to resolve the cruelty in the world and be dedicated to beauty and kinship, you may use this, right? So by telepathic mystery of Zoom. And this opens the channels between us and the ancestors of all the beings. So I've had so many friends who died recently, even in the last month, 4, 5. And I do not presume certainty about the big mystery of death. You know, believe nothing, entertain possibilities. But I love another collaborator, Sean Patrick O'Donny, who says, let us see the long ago dead stepping forward to welcome the recently dead as powers to be drawn upon. We go, ah. Oh. And as we dive in with our wonderful science and music, whatever, we go, nothing is limited to humans. We want, you know, may the truth of animism eclipse the hubris of humanism. Humans as the measure of all things. It is something we have outgrown. There we go.
Yes.
So, yes. So the flora fauna ancestors, the intelligence of the waters of life, the intelligence of liberating trickster who loves against all odds, right? It's a part of us that comes alive now that loves against all odds, and a part of nature that comes alive again that loves against all odds. And it's also, you know, Zelensky, you know, when he closed his video, his presentation to the U.S. Congress, it just closed with these words, close the skies over the Ukraine. It was so deft, because he doesn't say how, he says what, right? And that's part of all of our dynamic, to dedicate to what, and it's part of our negotiating skills. Always start with the desirable vision, not with realism, start with the desirable vision, and then avenues of synchronous opportunity open up that weren't apparent at first. Negotiating with neighbors, negotiating in the Middle East, negotiating in the Ukraine and Russia. Start with the desirable vision first. And that's part of our skill set. You know, the Saturn part of all of us is really good at dedicating, taking vows. But it's terrible at how. That just plunges us into alienation and depression. Saturn's job is what, not how. We'll bring in Jupiter and Uranus, all these different qualities of intelligence that connect us to the world. You know, and they say, we'll do how. Do common sense things as they occur, you know, because that's magic too. Magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything. There we go. So part of our theme now, what is the co-operators who are standing by, you know, Jupiter, the intelligence of curiosity and journeying and blessing and wisdom is in Pisces, the realm of the sea, conjoining Neptune. These are the two hosts of the Piscean realm of the oceans. And all the chapters of our life are really pouring in. I love Lauren Isley, a scientist with soul, who says, all of our lives, he says, we are rag dolls made out of many ages and skins, changelings who have slept in wood nests and hissed in the uncouth guise of waddling amphibians. We have played such roles for infinitely longer than we have been human. Our identity is a dream. We are process, not reality. This realm of dreaming. And even we take from everything. Reverend Ike said, if we can dream it up, we can dream it down. Neptune says, solve a coagula, dissolve and reimagine. dissolution is the secret of the great work. So all of us, our imagination, to dissolve any hard-hearted separation in the hearts of any of our rogue species. Just experiment, experiment, experiment. And so Lauren Isley also said, a scientist with soul, as is our great ally, David Gallo, whom we will bring in in some moments, but Lauren Isley said, if there's magic on this planet, it's contained in water. So put that in your backpack to amplify, Dave. So here's a memory that surfaces now for me. So in 2008, there was a water salon in Washington, D.C. It was sponsored by Bill Hazeltine, biotech bazillionaire, and the Swedish embassy. And it was all or many of the great world's sweetwater and saltwater scientists coming together. And the morning was problems, which are enormous, you know, then and now. They said, if the glaciers melt and the Ganges stops running, and the afternoon was solutions. And the night before, I was just going as a guest, and the night before I read the program, and it said, and Caroline Casey will be leading a water blessing ceremony during lunch. And I'm like, whoa, these are scientists. Okay, I wonder what I'll do. Remember, wonder attracts synchronicity and revelation. So I'm going, I wonder what I do. It's lunch. They're all eating their smoked salmon brunch, you know, and I have like 10 minutes, you know, and somebody hands me a bunch of yellow roses. And yellow roses are sacred to Oshun, who is the goddess of sweet water. And I'm like, okay, it's coming together. And so I just tapped my cup and said, in everyone's heart lives the myth of the restoration of the waters of life. And they all put down their fork. And it's like they wanted this part of them spoken to. And so I told them everything I knew in 5 minutes. And then I handed out the roses. And these are grown-ups, right? Homeland Security, Coast Guard, whatever, dignitaries, scientists. And I handed out the yellow roses, and I said, let's all go down to the Potomac River. We were right on the banks of the river. And toss these yellow roses into the water as a sign of our species' apology and our willingness to work with water to solve the problems of water. And they all did. Again, this ritual part of all of us, and that night at the fancy party in Georgetown, Indian scientist came up and said, I am strict science guy, but you gave me permission to be both. And it's not even me. It's like we all want to give each other permission to unfurl now into all of our skills. And then America's leading cold fusion physicist came up and said, all physicists are mystic. And then everybody at the party wanted to be a mystic. There we go. So there's a part two to this story, but now maybe you do your Oshun song on
yes,
it.
I'm so loving the unfurling. And you know, what's so perfect about this particular song for Oshun is that it's dedicated to removing the shackles that bind our mind, our bodies, and most importantly, our belief in magic and dreams and in the power of our fierce, radical imaginations. And so cheque is the word for shackles. Ite were were ni tao chun, ite were were. Ite were were ni tao suo, ite were were ni taia. Ocha gini mwa ni tao chun, cheke cheke ni taia. Ite were were. Alla ye ye wai lere wai, ye ye wai lere. Alla ye ye wai lere wai. Baba se se hia mimi mokosu, baba se se hia mimi mokosu, ochun gene mwa mi mokosu, baba se se hia mimi mokosu.
Oh.
Well.
And all of this we want to waft all around the world. Oshun, Oshun, the powers of sweet water, and we're willing to cooperate with you. So then at the water conference, the Blue Salon, there was a next day. And I was not on call. So at lunch, there was a man with a machine that he'd invented that ran on, excuse me, one tablespoon of gasoline and the rest on water. And there was press and everything. And it wasn't working. So you know all that tension. And the cold fusion physicist stepped forward and said, I think it needs more pressure. And he leaned on it, nothing. And then I just sensed the moment, and I just want all of us to cultivate and feel this thing. And I stepped forward and I put one hand on the machine and one hand on the inventor. And I asked the inventor, do you vow that this technology will never be used for war? And he said, I do. And the engine sprang to life. Va-va-boom! And the scientists were so happy. Well, everybody was so happy that it wasn't just them. It's not just us. We love these wonders, like, whoa. So I was talking to a friend of a friend who, our friend had died, you know, and I was talking about the Orishas. And he said, well, you know, Ogun is the god of war, but we're going to liberate him from that, but also the god of technology and tools. And I go, well, why don't we invite in this experimental realm, just as talking to that machine, that all the machines of cruelty and war rebel, and that the tanks turn into tomato planters. And so you have more to say about Ogun, yeah?
I do. And I love, you know, it's one of those things, like when you oversimplify something, you lose the juiciness of it, right? The nuance is where the juice and the roux and the spices are. And like Elegba Ogun is part of the triad of warriors that protect us. And, you know, we don't want to oversimplify Ogun as the god of war. He's the keeper of tools and the earth elements, especially iron. And so all of the tools, such as knives, can be used to either kill or clear the path in the woods. So like to till the earth, fix things. And so Ogun represents our primordial force and energy to call upon when you want tools for protection, for fixing, for planting, for building, and for clearing a path forward. And so we say, Ogun dere arere, ile bogbo longuwa, Ogun wan ile oke walona o, ile bobo Ogun are arere o ile, awan ile my Ogun arere kilonse. Awanile my my afere yogun.
So that's great. So we're calling on Ogun. We're calling on Ogun. We experiment without presumption, without hubris, without causality, without deriving status. Come on in, Ogun. Right? Because these are resonant, you know, these Orisha songs, they have a strong resonance back. And one of the things that's so beautiful about now, right, the diaspora and then the coming together. I was talking to a Santero friend, Marcelino, and mentioning the New Orleans Voodoo Tarot deck and how, what a great syncretism, Jupiter loves syncretism, it was between New Orleans Voodoon and the Kabbalistic mysticism and Ifa in Africa. And it was really well done. And Marcelino said, well, that's because they started off together. So I love that everything starts off together. We're all in this one dream, all in this one ocean, and then it becomes distinct. And now, time for it all to come back in, right? Into each one of us to customize and then to spiral forth. Mm. And it's also, years ago, I was at Findhorn, and this man with suits and looked very grown up and, you know, grown up city shoes in the wilderness, Donald First, head of the World Federalists, but he was very interesting. He said, anything that has a name has a god. You know, he said, the spirit of the North Atlantic, it has a presiding intelligence. And there are people in the UN, in the Dag Hammarskjöld meditation room, that are calling upon these intelligences of nature to help us out. And I'm like, whoa, okay. So we know for as long as we humans have living memory, our imagination has been tied to the sea. We say, what species would so harm the mother of all life? And we go, a species, you know, that had injured its sense of imagination and kinship and wonder. We're going to proffer the antidote here. And only the healing of imagination can allow us to heal the sea. And only the healing of the sea can allow us to heal our imagination. So Dave, when we first met, well, I first saw you at the TEDx after the Gulf of Mexico ecocide, right. And then hosted you on radio. Memorable. It's still such a good show. We've done others that are good too. But you took us, even by audio, down into the deep ocean, and everything real, everything symbolic. So we want to go to our deep, deep ocean selves. So can you, you want to take us down?
Sure. There I am wandering up the 10th stage. That, what you're looking at there, when you dive to the bottom, that's about a 2.5 hour trip. And after about a half an hour, it's pitch black. And we thought that there'd be no life at all. And instead, we're treated to this incredible display of animals that you can't see the body. There you can. But in many cases, all you see is that. And it's just glorious. And it's hard to describe. But the people that I've brought with me to the bottom have said it changed their lives. That looking out the window, you're just passing through this world of the blanket of water. So not there to study those things, which makes it wonderful because you can just appreciate it. Press your face up against the up against the porthole and just watch these beautiful animals, go, whatever they are, go by. And, you know, if you turn the lights on, what you see is like a soup, like an egg drop soup. It's not clear water, but there's things in there that, again, what I love is that hard to describe what's in that world.
And some of your other, that and also some of your other spectacular videos of the hypnotic light patterns in the deep, deep sea. And I said to you, well, that's what you see on mushrooms. And you're like, oh, right, because we've had these, our backstage entheogenic conversations. And I love Karen Saunders, wonderful indigenous herbalist who hosted her on radio. And she said, all these ayahuasca heads, you know, she said, you can microdose anything. And it has an interesting effect. And she said somebody had given a friend of hers a piece of a whale baleen that had washed up on shore, and her friend made a little alcohol tincture. And Karen, completely credible, said all you needed was 2 drops of this tincture, and you were in vast oceanic intelligence. Like, whoa.
Yeah. In effect, well, you hit on something there pretty important to me. We've only explored a few percent of the world's oceans, even though it covers most of the planet, average depth about 2 miles. So we've only explored maybe 8%. And who knows what's out there. In that few percent, we find the world's greatest mountain. Actually, you see it behind me, right in the Atlantic, right up there. See this light blue is a mountain range, and it's 50,000 miles long. It dwarfs the Alps. It's got thousands of valleys that crisscross it. All sorts of mountain peaks along it, volcanoes that run along the top of it. It's got currents, rivers. We actually, at the surface, we call them currents, but they're rivers of hot, cold that run across and through the oceans where they come to these steep topographies, the valleys and whatnot. They flow over and you have waterfalls. In fact, the world's tallest waterfall is up here. Oh, let me see if I can get this right. There we go. Between Greenland and Iceland, right there. That's the world's greatest waterfall. It's under the sea. It's called the Denmark Straits. And we have actually lakes beneath the sea too, which is hard to understand unless you see them. And even though we see them, we can't figure them out. Anyway, Caroline, what you said about the feelings about it. You know, scientists, we think when we explore, you've got to collect data. And so therefore, more important to have robots. Robots can stay on the bottom months at a time, and you can watch what they're seeing, just like a drone flying around the sky. So you watch the monitors. You can go to the bathroom. You can get a pizza if you want it, whatever you like. And so by in terms of data, that collects a lot more than the submarine. And the submarine, the one I'm familiar with, the ones of hold 3 people, you're there by yourself. So that's your whole brain trust, the 3 of you. One of you is a pilot, and you're looking out the window. It's uncomfortable. It's cold as all get out. You're cramped. You're looking out the window that's about that big and about that thick at this world. So in terms of, the robots dwarf that. But to me, it's like going to a live music event, a concert. You know, you've got to drive there. You've got to get the tickets ahead of time. You've got to park. You've got to walk. You get jostled by the crowd. You get uncomfortable seats. Maybe you can see. Maybe you can't hear. People around you bothering you. And at home, you can have your sound system and enjoy that same piece of music. But what you'd miss is the energy the what it does to your spirit by being there in person. So I think, and this goes along with the, what I think about science in general, you're missing the point. It's not just about collecting data. It's what it does to you individually, changing your spirit, changing the way you think about actually being in that world. And you know, because that's what I think at this point, is that all this data we collect, it goes on a shelf eventually, and maybe someone uses it, but it's impossible to, I come back to this again, you know, you can't, there's no standardized test for passion or curiosity. And that's what I find out from being there. The way you look out the window, the way you feel, the things you hear, smell, you can't surprise a robot. And sorry I went off on that riff, but that bit about the human nature, about the emotions of actually being in the water is, to me, incredibly huge. You know, I talked to some people, you know, have you gone to a Grateful Dead? Oh, yeah, I was at Altamont. Well, did you really? Well, I watched it on TV. No, it's not being at a Grateful Dead concert. You know, you're missing all the stuff that's important about being at a concert. So, you know, I have to put up with data because for 40 years, that's what I did. In fact, that map behind me is a map of the seafloor. And I did a lot of that stuff. I contributed to making that map. But it's just data. And back when I was doing it, back in the 70s and 80s, every mountain, we collect information. But there I was with my pen for days on end. Literally, sometimes I wouldn't sleep for 3 days at a time. And I swear I saw spirit guides and everyone standing around the table as I was working. But every mountain, I would draw that mountain, make the contours of that mountain. I created that. And I loved that because I was intimately familiar. Today, the ship goes over it, spits out a map, and that's it. And I think, again, they're missing the big points about what science ought to be.
Right. Intimacy, yeah. Kinship. You know, we will keep referencing curiosity and wonder as our sacraments, especially. And, you know, in Iraq, seeing a man witnessing the horrible carnage of a bomb, and he said, "This is not how we honor creation with the divine." We go, "No." So we want to suffuse our memosphere, again, curiosity and wonder as the antidote to whatever. So, but yeah, no, and so I know we have some other videos we might show, but you had also said when we first spoke that, yes, humans are mucking everything up, even the bottom of the sea, but you said never forget that out of the bottom of the sea there are these vents blowing new life, biogenesis, into the, and do we have that video, Aaron? Oh, yeah. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, so there we are on top of that underwater mountain range, and that's hot water coming out of the earth from deep inside the earth, and it's full of toxic chemicals. It would kill us all in a heartbeat, and the pressure is incredible. Surrounding that, there's always volcanoes and earthquakes. There's never been any sunlight. So for everything we believed in, there should be no life here at all. Maybe a worm or two here and there. But in terms of robust big animals, nah, can't be. And one day, some geologists that were stumbling along in the sub collecting volcanic rocks came across what you see coming into view here, which is a pillar of basaltic rock, volcanic rock. But everything you see on there is alive. In one place, there's 300 species, 297, never been seen before. And these are almost aliens because these animals live, there's a microbe that eats that poisonous fluid and turns that into sugars for these animals. And so they're chemosynthetic and they're thriving. In fact, they actually, in terms of diversity, the number of animals and the density, you can see the density, actually rivals the tropical rainforest. So we were dead wrong about life on Earth where we said no life can happen there. Well, guess what? There's a lot of life, and it's all really strange life. And those things are called tube worms. They don't have a digestive system. You'll see crabs in there. So they just have a sack with bacteria in them. And they, like I said, they thrive. They move like a worm. That's something I've never been able to come to grips with about, wait, how do these work? the thing about these places too, as Caroline said, is that they pop out of the earth. So if you have a volcanic eruption, which makes it beautiful because at the bottom of the ocean, volcano lava freezes right away into this beautiful black, shiny obsidian type rock. So you see whole mountains, acres of beautiful rock, and there's nothing living on it. And then next thing you see is cracks in the seafloor. And from those cracks, we have what looks like snow. We call them snow blowers. And there's all these particles coming out of the earth. And we wondered for a long time what they were. What is all that stuff? So we sampled it. I want to stop here for a moment because we're going to have a friend come visit. So these animals are fixed in one spot because they need that poisonous enemy. Oh, no, I don't want to stop the tape. I just want to stop what I was talking about.
No, back yeah, to the tape.
Back to Dumbo. Yeah, yes. If we can show Dumbo. So these animals are fixed. But when you're in the submarine, sometimes in the distance, you can see big animals moving around. And this is one of them. This is called the Dumbo octopus for obvious reasons. He's flying with his fin.
That is so cool.
Isn't it? And that's his eye. And he's got one eye on the submarine. And he's gracefully coming toward the sub. This giant is about 4 feet across if you stretch his arms out. And if you look at the bottom, you can see that the submarine is actually backing up, because the last thing you really want is a smart animal like Dumbo here landing on the front of the submarine and adjusting everything for you. And he eventually does catch up with the sub and sits on the front of the submarine where all the equipment is. But, you never know. Who thought this would be? The pressure here is thousands of pounds per square inch, just amazing amounts of pressure. And yet such a graceful, beautiful animal. And one, that's a big animal. Again, biologists said, you're never going to get big animals in the deep, maybe tiny little things. Well, look at this. And then one of the other things that amazes us is it's got very decent, in fact, incredibly good eyes for an animal. And why in a world that's been perpetually dark, why does it need eyes? What's it doing with the eyes? Still don't have an answer to that yet, except there might be a low-level nightlight at the bottom of the ocean. Anyway, back to away from this guy. So back to the snowblowers, we call them, boom, coming out of that mountain range. And so we sampled it, and lo and behold, it's bits of biologic stuff, junk. I'm a geologist, so I can say biologic junk and stuff. And archaea, which is a very primitive form of life, coming out of these cracks in the seafloor that were never there before. So cover it with lava, then crack it a little bit. And then from there, the crack comes to stuff. And for the long time, we said, it's life and bits of life. And so we started wondering, well, how deep does it go? And the deeper we went, it seemed like the more there was in a way. And then we said, how did it all get down there? And then the big light bulb went on. Oh, wait a minute. It's not getting down there. It's coming from there. So we think we're looking at biogenesis, that inside the earth, you have all the things, you have the cookie dough of life, you have water, you have energy instead of the sun from inside the earth, and all along the top of that mountain range, which means someplace, somewhere, the chemistry and everything's going to come together in the right way, and we have biogenesis. Now, it's microbes, and you're not going to get rabbits and giraffes and stuff, but it's the beginning. So if you wiped out all life on Earth, we think it would regenerate itself from the inside of the Earth out. I love that idea. But the other thing about that is that biogenesis never stopped. We think the old idea was you have a pink, soupy pond and then a lightning bolt and boink, out comes a rabbit, that kind of thing. And that was it. And then it went from there. And, why did it stop? It never stopped. It's been going on every day, every year since the very beginning. Life, that's one of the lessons we learn on this planet. No matter where we go, the more hostile we say it is, life really wants to happen. And so that changed the way we think about life on Earth. It was revolutionary by stumbling across something that was never predicted. And the second part was other planets, the moons of Jupiter. There's one called Europa. Yeah. It's smaller than our moon, but it's got more water on it than Earth. It's got an icy coating on the outside, and then it's got the same kind of heat at the bottom. it would be remarkable if there was no life in that ocean, you know, from what we've seen on Earth. And that stuff's fascinating, that we think it's almost likely that there's life in other places in our solar system. Oh, sorry, I was on one of my riffs again.
No, you know, it's funny. Can you hold up a cup and what it, how it compressed down?
Oh,
to,
yeah.
Just
so
I
said, amazing how that octopus is such a graceful animal. And same thing with the jellies. And you can see those to the bottom of the trenches, 11 miles deep, 11 kilometers deep. No, 11 miles deep. And to figure out the pressure, you cut that in two, depth divided by two, and that's pounds per square inch. So you're looking at thousands of atmospheres of pressure. And in the sub, you're protected because you're in a ball, a very strong titanium ball. If you give the ocean half a chance, you know, even if there's a fingernail scratch in the windows of the sub, we replace it because you can't give the ocean that chance. It's got to be almost perfect, the perfect sphere. Well, on the other hand, one of our favorite things to do is to take a cup. Oh, they're actually bigger than this cup. And we draw on it at the surface. And then we put it on the outside, styrofoam cups on the outside of the sub. So it's going to feel the pressure. And as it goes down more and more into the ocean, the pressure increases. And little by little, it squeezes all the air out of that styrofoam. But it does it not like this. It does it in every direction. It's called hydrostatic. Every direction, same pressure, and you end up with that. So this is a cup that's been to the Titanic, but you can see how tiny it is to where it began. But it shows you that if you work with the ocean, that how gentle it really can be, incredibly gentle, to keep a styrofoam cup in one piece. And all the animals figured that out. Long time ago.
So we're going for all that you said, and also going down into the deep, deep ocean. Thank you for guiding us. May it change our hearts into the deep, deep oceanic parts of ourself, right? To suffuse the world with wonder and curiosity. And yes, my cat is insisting that. And also just everything's connected. Her brother, Abyssinian cat, died recently, and we thought maybe we'll get another Abyssinian. They're all being bred in the Ukraine.
Oh, wow.
Which is a strange and quirky thing. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to subject a kitten to be flown from the Ukraine. But maybe now we do, you know. But just, you know, there's so many beings there, humans and all of that. And again, the deep, deep ocean. So Dave has taken us down into the deep ocean, full of marvels and wonders and so much to learn. And, you know, we can't afford this. But I think part of what we say is that we have huge things that we will touch on, but everyone knows the climate crisis, everything, huge, important things to resolve. And it's as though the unconscious death urge of the Dementors is like, that's too complicated. Let's go for blood sacrifice, right? And it's like, it's an avoidance of the issues, right? So.
Yeah.
So Ami, you have the song to Olugun, who is the who presides over the deep, 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 deep ocean, right?
That's right. Olugun is the deepest part of the ocean, and you know Yemaya is the top part, and Olugun is the deepest, where you have the riches, you know, beyond your wildest dreams. And that's where, you know, because you can't see, you have to have faith to find it and know that it's there, even though you can't see it. And so we sing, Sawade. La de Olokun Sawade Sawade La de Olokun Sawade Ioro la de Olokun Sawade La de Olokun Sawade.
So water, we'll get to spirals and water, but, you know, so may the deep water intelligence dissolve the hardest of hearts, anything that keeps us from sense of one. And as our friend in Syria and Vermont, Deborah Falmouth, always reminds us, salam, meaning peace, is not the absence of war, it's the presence of oneness. Presence of oneness. There's the ocean. And again, that's what we want to suffuse in the memosphere or invite in. Again, cooperators are eager to be invited. And maybe we might say, may the incredible horrors that many horrors, it's quirky that the, you know, some of the peace activists in America are fighting, or they're fighting over, no, it's all NATO's fault. No, it's all whatever. And it's like, you know, it's the Dr. Strangelove thing. Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room. It's like, no, it doesn't matter. And Noam Chomsky's translator in the Ukraine said, Noam, sitting in your comfortable chair pontificating, I love your work, but we are not chess pieces here. You know, we are living life. We are people with our dogs and our children. You know, and as Zelensky said, oh, Russian soldiers, oh, Russian mothers of soldiers, do you love your children more than you fear your government? And may it be, you know, all of us here in participatory animism, that the grief, the sadness, the horror that we see, may it cause such revulsion in our collective souls, whoa, that we dissolve with the power of water, you know, that cruelty, that impulse dissolved from the repertoire of humanity. It's like dream big, play fair. It's like, because it really is that, you know, everything's on the line. It's like we must evolve and grow out of this. So yes, and then all water moves in spirals, right? The whole realm of biomimicry. When conflicting forces come together, spirals ensue. It's nature's way of resolving conflict. And we're seeing some great spiraling. I had a friend who was a 6'9" contact improv dancer, which is where you spiral with your partner. And he was in a crosswalk in Baltimore and a car hit him going 40 miles an hour. But it was so in his body that he spiraled over the top of the car, crushed the roof, landed on his feet to the applause of everyone there. We go, right, something coming at you, you don't want to, it's Aikido, you know, in every way you want to. Whoosh. So for all of us, you know, to not be snookered into polarity. Polarity feeds the Dementors. The Dementors feed on strife and conflict, all of that. And we go, oh, may we take into our own realm a dedication and aspiration to not be snookered into polarity, right? To cool this out, that we be agents of spiraling, linguistic Aikido, conciliatory humor. You know, I think I'll put up Zelensky's chart at the perfect moment, so at some point too, because we go, ooh, humor, when he's visiting the young girl in the hospital, and she says everybody's watching you on TikTok, and he's like, we've occupied TikTok. And it's like, so humor under pressure is, you know, and the Ukrainian government put out a notice, all citizens, if you find a Russian tank, you need not declare it on your taxes. We go, oof, this is trickster spiritedness, violin beauty being played in barracks, somebody with a piano in the midst of ruins. You know, it's not just this one place, but it resonates with everything. And it reminds us of the photograph of a couple beautifully dancing in the ruins in Beirut. And the caption was, in spite of everything, yes. I go, right. Yes, that life force. So all water moves in spiral. The mascot flower of the Ukraine is the sunflower, which grows in exquisite spirals. But I know that you love spirals too. Can you guide us more to all water moves in spirals?
And really quickly, the sunflower is Oshun's flower, just so you know.
Okay.
Yes!
Oh, good. So we have moves and spiraling, and just all cultures with spirals at the center of their art. You know, eschew war. They have cultures of incredible cultivation and music and palace of fine arts and spirals and cooperating with nature's guiding genius, not dominance. That's the spiral. So we're speaking to that as well. You know, we need not be bound by anything really secular or orthodox in our offering that the spiral suffuses.
But yeah, and spinning too, Caroline, and spinning too.
And spinning too. Oh, that's great. Yes, and spinning too. And then also, we did you want to show the ocean spiral movement?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, do you have that?
Can we run that?
Do you have that, Aaron?
So what you're about to see is the Gulf Stream, which carries heat from the equator up past Florida. That's a river of heat that is at the surface. We'll make it colored in a moment here. But look at the surface. That's the surface of the ocean. And it's covered with these rings, spirals, if you will. And they're rotating. Some rotate clockwise, some rotate counterclockwise. But the net effect is that they carry heat over towards Europe. And that's why Ireland is green. England's green, Northern Europe green, lots of things growing there. Southeast Ireland, Southwest Ireland, there's tropical, subtropical palm trees and things, all because of that heat that the ocean provides through these spirals that carry the heat up. And you see there's Newfoundland on the upper left side now. Nothing grows there. I mean, it's just a barren sort of place compared to that stuff that's bringing heat over to Europe. So that's one way, no matter where you live on the planet, the oceans reach out and touch you one way or another. The spirals, you know, I first got interested when I was thinking of Earth's orbit, because we're so hung up on circles, round and around and around. And now there is a circle for sure, but it matters what your reference frame is. And so if you take a circle and move it this way, something circular, but the pattern it makes is a wave, sine wave, if you move it this way, that circle. If you move it this way, so the circle is going that way, you get a spiral. And it's incredible the way that it twists around the moon. If you add the moon and other planets too, what a wonderful thing. These intricate weavings of the planets. I just love that. But again, it depends on your reference frame. You know, we're familiar with whirlpools, the idea of what a whirlpool is. And they rotate clockwise and counterclockwise, hurricanes, tornadoes, all spirals of one form or another. And I think I've always wondered about, maybe it's a more efficient way. The Earth's always about moving energy around. Let's move energy, heat, usually. And maybe it must be a very efficient way to move and carry heat. But I see them as a child and into my graduate days, I would always see something that reminded me, oh, that's a spiral that in the rocks, in the sediments, and in the ocean, that there's spirals at work. So I love those things, especially when you think that it could be a wave if it moves that way. Yep.
Undulating. Yeah, undulating, because
undulating.
Michael Mann also was saying after the great floods in Germany that scientists were going, you know, maybe it was a mistake that we forced curvy, meandering rivers into straight, shallow concrete things. You think, right? And everything real, everything symbolic. You know, New York Times article on the high price of denying rivers their wetlands, their whatever. And it's also in our psyche as well, the high price of that. So what the climate scientists were saying is the atmospheric rivers that undulate are stalling because of climate change and our bad manners. And that's what leads to like more rain, more thing. And so again, spiraling, undulating, feel free, even at the end of our Kahoot, if you feel self-conscious, you can turn off your camera, you know, but Ami will send us out we can spiral with this, right? So yeah, and it's also in permaculture, rivers that curve can metabolize poison. Rivers in straight lines carry poison. It's all speaking to us. And again, all of that we want to spiral forth. And then just because everything, we love complexity and nuance, we do want to praise, you know, yes, people go, Elon Musk, oh no, but he did just bring the internet to the Ukraine. We go, all right, you know, whatever we speak to one another is the part of them we're inviting to dance. We go, that's a good, who's a good Elon Musk bringing Starlink, right? Yes, you are. Forget this other stuff. There you go. You know, and also, you know, I hardly ever guess signs, but Jose Andres, World Central Kitchen, oh, this is what humans are to do, you know, everywhere providing food. And he goes, and it must be beautiful. It must be beautiful to be nourishing. And there must be music. And I go, oh, it's so great. So everything complex. And so I go, I bet he's a cancer man. He is. Feel what's needed. Well, here comes, you know, more room for everybody, for men to be feeling, I feel what's needed and respond. Just impressive, you know, the beautiful, you know, Steve Givett is a Philadelphia restaurant owner that a number of Philadelphia restaurant owners went over to the Ukraine. And they're filing their reports and they're cooking and making 3,000 meals at a time. And welcoming people and reporting back on it, going, you must feel this kinship, you know, and extend it, you know, because a lot of the progressives are like, and Yemen, and yes, you know, may our hearts open, not close off, that it's everything. And again, I just want to say that, just to repeat that with this oceanic, and we'll go to the Age of Wizards, right? May there be such revulsion that at cruelty, that there really is a change of heart in collective humanity. Nothing less is called for right now because it's so dire. And it's intriguing that Putin, we don't even know for sure the year he was born, apparently, even though we've been working with the 1952 chart, born a week before me, going, what are you doing with our planets, Putin? But he might have been born in 1950. But so he's firing and placing under house arrest his generals, his secret service, and even his housekeepers, right? So it reminds me of when the former guy was elected, and I asked the I Ching, what is the nature of this? The I Ching was quite precise. The I Ching said, this is the darkest of black magic in which five venomous creatures are put in a jar until one of them kills and eats the others. I'm like, pretty good, I Ching. Well, so there's the Putin dynamic, and we go, now part of our Jupiter blessing is we're allowed to set in motion anything of which we would be the happy recipients, right? So we wish no harm. We know that Dion Fortune in World War II, a great esoteric teacher and ritualist, the British government hired her and the ritualists of Britain to protect Britain from the Nazi invasion. A number of things that I always use, but I'm going to use them again because it's a powerful equinoctial tide that we're all on here. And she said, no, we are you going to harm the Nazis? No, we're going to protect everything. They were doing it by mail. We have Zoom. And she said it was essential in dealing with the horrors that so many are facing that we maintained an atmosphere of tranquility in our home workspaces. Otherwise, how could we have hoped to have been a nucleus of stability for the nation's soul? I'm like, well, now we're talking. Vocabulary upgrade. If we have a word, we have a relationship. I go, ah. Oh. And she said, part of this was due to our practice, but also our absolute dedication to the desirable outcome. She's writing when the bombs are falling. And we're seeing in the Ukrainian spirit and in Zelensky an absolute dedication to the desirable outcome against all odds. It's like, whew, whew. And she said, and this is for us to envision, she said, when we're working with vision, ocean, Neptune, Jupiter, she said, it's not prophecy, but it's just as if we were standing on a cliff overlooking the sea. We can see boats coming into shore sooner than people on shore. It's like, oh, I love that image. And so for us, we go, all right, maybe we can see the boats coming in, and how shall we animate those boats? And what is on them? We go, sane, reverent common sense, and all the positive ancestors, and the plant intelligence, and humans being humbled by the increasing awareness of the intelligence of the plants and creatures around us going, oh, we've been so outside the choreography, right? And then the last thing from her that I use all the time right now, she said, people are always asking me, when will the war end? And she goes, I won't tell you when, but I will tell you how. It will end when the conditions that gave rise to it are resolved. So when will the pandemic end? These waves. It will end when the conditions that gave rise to it are resolved. The conditions that gave rise to it are humans' war on life and despoiling the habitat of all the creatures. The end of the movie Contagion, which is pretty good, but the last 5 minutes, it shows jungles coming down, animals fleeing, bat poops on pig brought into slaughter, Chinese restaurant, Chinese chef wipes hands on apron, steps out front to shake hands with Gwyneth Paltrow, and we're off, right? So when will it end, you know, to go to the deep resolving, you know, and the resolution of this. And we would just say with the Jupiter-Neptune oceanic team, what gives rise to such cruelty? We go, the sense of separation, the forgetting that we're all in this one dream. So there's that. So David, you'd mentioned the age of the wizard, and I go, oh, you are getting more and more available. what do you mean by returning to the age of the wizard?
Well, again, you know, I thought I was born Roman Catholic, and
me too, for a minute.
Yep, and altar boy and all that stuff. So I really got into religion in a way for a young guy, and then I love ritual, and so I kind of followed it, and things didn't start to fit after a while. And then I came to the realization, well, of course not. This is a human construct, religion, and the idea is that it's based around the concept of a God. And in a way, we're never really going to get that answer. You have to have faith. And then I look at science, again, another human construct, you know, Newton or Galileo or whoever, the laws of physics. And with the idea, one of the ideas, where did we come from? What's out there with the universe? Again, questions that we can never get answers to, but we have to have faith. And in this case, we have faith in things like gravity. Now, we don't know what gravity is. We know how things behave in gravity, and we have some rough idea, but what is it exactly? I mean, I know if I do that, it's going to fall, but I don't, what's pulling this from here to there? So I don't like any of that. I don't like quantum physics. I don't like dark matter, because I think, having spent 40 years in the scientific world, I think we tend to make up stuff in a way that fits. You know, science works by putting out a thesis, a hypothesis, then testing it. And so science moves forward. And yeah, so someone may attack one of those things, quantum physics or dark matter, and then it falls. That's the business of science. But I want to know, I've always been surprised and amazed at how fishermen knew about things like El Nino, rhythms and cycles, long before the scientists went on to it. Farmers get a feeling for what's coming next. And so it started dawning on me that we have to push back to get rid of this human construct stuff and go back to people that are closer to nature. And, you know, this stuff is horrible for us, I think, 60 cycle energy, because it takes away one of the greatest rhythms, night and day, that we one of the most familiar rhythms. I can do sit here all night. Seasons, you can get rid of seasons. So little by little, I think that our technology and our thought process has moved us away where we should be. There's only one story, and I think that it's in many parts, but I think we need to go back to the age of wizards, when a few people were really tuned in and could explain it, but were really tuned into the world around us. Think about humans. On that map behind me, that's a real mosaic of the continents done over time. You can never get it all lit up at once, but you don't see any, you know, there's 7 billion people on there. You don't see us, you don't see cities. We are like a microbe on the planet. Yet, with our technology, this little tiny microbe on this little tiny planet in this little tiny solar system, little tiny galaxy, has been able to, with telescopes, we can see infinity. With microscopes, we can see the infinitesimal. With our computers, you can stop a lightning bolt and walk around it in a virtual sense. With our computers, you can watch oceans come and go and continents collide. It's an amazing privilege that we've had this perspective. Yet look at how we behave like idiots, you know? And for the longest time, I was thinking, well, we didn't know. Well, especially with the planet and how we're sort of ruining this planet. But now, you know, that excuse is gone, because now we do know. And yeah, we just behave like idiots. And I don't know, you know, how we turn that around. Certainly the money motive is a, go ahead.
No. Well, you do. You're giving a talk tomorrow, which is why you're in a North Carolina motel. And Asclepion, cunningly disguised as a North Carolina motel on early childhood education. Well, you know, Jupiter, we spoke about this, Jupiter curiosity, Neptune wonder. curiosity and wonder as these great sacraments that want to suffuse us, you know, and suffuse the whole, you know, and to replace the horrific distraction of, you know, cruelty. So yes, and we were, when we first spoke 12 years ago, you know, you were talking about we the same things we need now. All the scientific knowledge with the great storytellers to magnetize this all-inclusive calling with Ami singing in the Orishas. This is the story. This is what we're all doing here. This is how we cooperate rather than dominate. Mm-hmm. So,
Caroline, yeah. This is Michael Stocker here. It's really delightful to hear this conversation, the intersection of that. And David, you mentioned something that's super important, and I think it intersects with kind of the fabric of where Caroline has really been leading all kind of all of her life, is the science advances through assumptions. And the assumptions that we make are the things that we inquire upon. But the, you know, the fundamental assumptions that we've been using for the past, you know, since Descartes, are structuralist ones. They're ones that have a certain sense of reason and rational assembly that we oftentimes strip away all the covariates so that we can actually come up with something that substantiates our initial assumption. And we're, you know, we lose track of really where we came from. Whereas Caroline, you know, you're always talking about the beauty of it's expressing not needs, but expressing, you know, where we are in our relationship with that. So if we reestablished our relationship with those assumptions, the scientific assumptions, we can use a methodology. A methodology is really good in science. That's why it's effective. But the fundamental assumptions we make are the things that I think we need to reassess.
That's very good.
Excellent.
Yep.
That's a, and you both were on radio together. That's Michael Stocker, a marine acoustician.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hosted you.
I remember.
I love it when the guests meet. Listen. Right. That's right. That's really wonderful. Yes. I want to bring up just a smidge, you know. I want to bring up the chart of now, the astro mythology of now. And again, see, part of the diaspora, you know, physics and metaphysics were, you know, once physics says there's meaning in pattern, the argument's over. There meaning, pattern tracking beings, astrology, astronomy, the star watchers, one thing sundered, you know, now coming back together, all the different traditions, you know, sundered, coming back together. Well, like yourself, I was raised Catholic, and I remember the moment, it's young, because I'm playing in my doll's house, and I remember going over the Nicene Creed, you know, one God, the only church, and I'm like, no. There's no one. No, that's right. So we love heresy in all of us. Remember our friend Pat Ewing, early biblical scholar and political consultant, says in early religion, heresy was welcomed. It meant free thinking, cross-pollinating, contributor to culture, so that knowledge never became dogma. Right.
Yeah.
So all of us heretics, and you know, the equinox, Noor Hall says, deliberate celebration of the change of season stirs the creative powers of the psyche. So even with, or especially, why not telepathic Zoom, you know, we're doing that. So let me just bring up just a smidge of the guiding chart of now. And then I'm going to put, let's see all these other things here. I'm rummaging. Oh, that's right. Okay. There we go. Okay. All right. So for the fun of it, when we began, the moon was at 19 plus Scorpio, which the early grumpy men philosophers called the accursed degree of the accursed sign, because its image is a person drawing back two dark curtains leading to a sacred pathway. And they're like, no priesthood? And they're like, right, no priesthood. Research, wonder, curiosity, yeah, no need for mediation. And now the moon is doing a very beautiful thing in Scorpio, deep delving, deep, 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 you know, and it's trining, divide the circle by three, 120 degree angle to Jupiter. And Jupiter now is 18 Pisces, which is where Uranus was when I went to the water salon. I keep track of these things. So Jupiter trines Moon trines Jupiter, Mercury. May we all be voices for wonder and curiosity. When I began at the beginning to say that there was just a moment where I put a hand on the inventor and a hand on the machine and said, do you vow that this technology will never be used for war? I do, and the machine came to life. Not self-important. I just want to convey to everyone, as we practice, as we wonder what we're really dedicated to, these moments, small and large, come up where we just, something larger than ourselves moves through us. And this is all presence of oneness. I mean, there's a million ways we can describe the disasters of an astrological word, disaster, as is, you know, catastrophe. But the antidote is consider with the stars. So it's like, well, this is the dissolving in the ocean, dissolving of the icebergs. Many things are brewing, but also the rising presence of oneness and poetry and the wedding of poetry and science, as our wonderful scientist and Lauren Isley as well are doing. And the moon is opposite Uranus. Uranus represents nature's evolutionary trickster genius. Against all odds, it loves it. And it says, we want to have a renaissance rising. I couldn't find the video clip, but there's one that Zelensky has put out. I'm going to bring him up in a moment. He is an incredible, I said Churchill with a media account. It's like, no, better. But he put out, you know, we will rebuild. We will have Russia pay to rebuild, you know, and then it's a video seeing beauty. And for us to go, all these catastrophes and cruelty, may we see beauty, you know, greenness come back in a better way. To love disharmony back into harmony creates a greater harmony than existed before, says a wonderful indigenous character. but just for our purposes, this exquisite language, much dissed, because we know that cultures symbolically embedded their science in their myths, fairy tales, and symbolic languages like astrology. And then the unsupervised kind of boys science team came along and said, we don't need these myths, these, and then astrology especially, right? And so we want just science. So it strips science of its mythological moral guiding that science be used in dedication to collective well-being. So this beautiful language is an exquisite language of our interior psyche, separated by a thin membrane we call identity, from the whole huge big thing. There's nothing in the world that is not pouring into our world and our psyches in some form. Ukraine, Russia, we're all in the dream. The Putin part of all of us, Fuda, right? How do we honor that? But I did want to put Zelensky's chart inside. We time unfoldment, so for the fun of it. All right, so when Zelensky was born, this is his chart, the listing of planets, where they were when he was born. And what we have outside is where the planets are now. And whether you know astrology or have any opinion about it, it doesn't matter. I'm going to give us a few things to visualize strategically. So when Zelensky is born, the Sun and Venus are in Aquarius. The image for that particular degree is a performer in a mystery play. We go, well, that works. In the sky right now, the little asteroid Vesta is at 5 Aquarius. My friend, excuse me, Sylvia says, where Vesta is where one is divested until the dedication to keeping the community hearth flame alive is deepened. And we go, this part of all of us is doing that. And then two last little bits I want to bring into play. So Uranus, nature's evolutionary trickster genius, against all odds. In a couple of weeks, but you know, we don't need specificity, Uranus will trine Zelensky's Mercury, his against all odds. This is a quite, it's his most practical part. the image for his Mercury is children's ward in a hospital. Sometimes these symbols are so literal. And Yarna says, you know, trickster genius, you know, against all odds, you know, to spiral out of conflict in some way, to have, you know, Putin gracefully spiraled out in the five jars, five venomous creatures. We don't know. Fortunately, we don't need to know how. That's what the backstage is telling us, just what. So there's that. And then the last little bit, which leads us into our cahooting, our beginning to deconvene, is Jupiter. So Jupiter, curiosity, in Gemini, conversational availability. So he won a dance contest. He played a president on thing. He was an actor, right? And then it became real. And what a competent, amazing, busy, engaged, talking to everyone person. We go, whew. You know, again, this is part of our dream as well. So Pluto, death, rebirth, goes around every 248 years, making a quirky angle to Jupiter. And my great astro colleague years ago, Jim Lewis, back in the 80s, when he sort of looked at 2020 and we knew there was going to be a death rebirth dynamic, but anyway, but he said, look at Pluto to Jupiter. He said, incredible for publicity. And I was like, okay, I can make sense out of that. Jupiter is storytelling. Pluto is death and rebirth. One of its primary totems is the phoenix, the mythological bird that bursts into flames and rises from its own ashes. And before the phoenix bursts into flames and is reborn, it sings this hauntingly beautiful song. And all of creation listens to the phoenix's song and is reminded of what's really important. Beauty and kindness and solicitousness and reciprocal blessing and symbiosis and spiraling, right? And then the phoenix, you know, is reborn. And I go, he's doing pretty good. He's certainly got everyone's attention. He is reminding us, this Zelensky part of our dream, and even now I can hear the grumpy progressives going, it's all NATO's fault. It's like, that might be true. That might be true. But there's many layers of stories. There's 10, 20, 30 stories all going on in each person and more and each circumstance, you know, and they can be conflicting and they can all be true, and we do want to know everything. But which ones are we going to vote for? And the mythological dynamic has been largely exiled, but he's doing so well. You know, and it is part of our whole dynamic, which is Aquarius, how we gather. Square Uranus, a theme for the whole year. It's Sir Herbert Reed said, only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology. We go, right. And that's where we go back to Ami and Ogun and going, right, you know, to liberate all the everything as a soul. Cultures, Japan, Kami, the soul, you know, live the story we wish were true. To study astrology or anything like that, you can't start with how, because you'll never get there. The reality police goes, no, there's no way this could work. But let's see if, and then wonder backwards. You know, so this particular dynamic says wonder and curiosity engage synchronicity. I wonder what we're going to, okay. This animistic call and response, this realm of auguries. And we go, so there we have it. World news in a minute. And the vision for all of us, you know, derived from the best in humans to supplant the worst is part of what we want to, you know, to spiral forth. So there. And then, so Ami, are we keep me on schedule or something?
I love it. Yes, we are definitely rounding around to Oludumare and talking about the oneness. And you know, it's so amazing when you said the The all presence of oneness. Olodumare is an Orisha. It's also known as Olorun or Olofi, and it's this manifestation of the supreme creator. And I also was raised Roman Catholic, and I knew it was a bunch of mumbo jumbo when they said my dog wasn't going to go to heaven.
Right.
So.
No, that was it. Animals have no soul.
I'm out of here. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, people.
Incomplete.
See you later. That's right. Exactly. But the name actually comes from the phrase Oni Odumare, which means the source of creation that does not become empty. And so, of course, that's like David and the pipes in the bottom of the ocean. It's about the all sufficiency and having the holding of space where we could be a source of grounded, sound judgment, which is like we have all the, you know, sufficiency and knowledge, which is wisdom, and we have the sufficiency and kindness of heart, which all of this leads to what a wise leader needs to be. They don't need to be with the five, you know, deadly creatures in a jar. They can actually like shift into wise leadership, and we so desperately need that.
Well, yes. Just briefly, did you see that Stacey Abrams played the president of Earth on Star Trek?
No, yeah, anyway, not yet. Back, gosh, that's so beautiful. So, you know, I mean, again, with everything, you know, these sonic infusions that are prayers and rockets of desire, when you do that with song, you know, it just augments the vibration. And so we just say, oh, the O keng keng ikua wa o le re re o o rie o lu du mare o lo fi o rie. And you wanted to know about Obatala, who is Olodumare's representative on Earth. It's another Orisha, and it's the one that shaped human beings and sent the breath of life from Olodumare into all of the human beings that Obatala made. And Obatala is the sky father, and who is the one that keeps the head cool. And so tell them about Kulukulu, Caroline, about really quickly.
Oh, yeah. So our word cool, popularized by jazz musicians in the 40s, comes from a Yoruba word, kulukulu. And it meant completely responsible. We're talking about what we want in leadership now. Yes. We have ingenious solutions to cooperate with the earth. We could do this thing, but we've outsourced leadership to dingbats. So sociopathic dingbats. So so inhaling our Saturn authority, right? So kulukulu, cool meant completely responsible. Cool guy took care of the community. The cool drummer is just the drummer, the divine, no overplaying, no performance, just poof. Yes. And in Yoruba, as in English, it means cool like temperature. Yes. So the Yoruba say magic, language is magic. To literally imagine our heads as cool and our hearts as warm.
Yes.
Move all the heat in the head to the heart. So cool head, warm heart, opposite of road rage, opposite of war, you know, hot head, cold heart. Right? Mm-hmm. So we are agents of cool, cool head, warm heart. And they said, if you do that, and let's just imagine that now, cool head, warm heart, it allows for enhanced superconductivity of multiple ideas without frying your circuits. That's how they spoke of it, really, 19th century. So as Ami will guide us more, Olodumare and Obatala, these are representations of wise leadership, right?
Yes.
That's what we want, to ride in on this surf and ride in on the depths of the ocean that David's bringing to us, all of this. So, whatever you want to say about it.
So, yes, if everyone can just keep doing with the cool head, warm heart while I sing. Baba fururu, erere oro, oba kanyenye le chimbo. Ile ifa basi basa wo. Eribore re bati baho enuaye yawaloro e yawaloro elesio kan o batala tawini wini se
de gude popola inya se de.
So with Obatala, you know, again, wise leadership, insourcing. We want to insource, yeah, everything we've outsourced. So we're insourcing authority and leadership from those who are missing the entire whole purpose of the beauty of life, and exhaling to those qualities. Those qualities, I think, humans humbly cooperating with nature's guiding genius means also our leadership qualities derived from nature. I'm very fond of wolves and coyotes myself, but each person, you know, what are the, and I just can't help myself. Janine Benyus, founder of Biomimicry years ago, said, "Do you know how bees practice democracy?" I'm like, "No." And she said, well, the bees send out scouting teams, and the scouting teams come back and they dance the place they saw. And the rest of the bee community goes, "We like your dance. We like your song and dance about that place. We're going there." And wherever the majority of the bees go, they all go there. Isn't that wonderful?
That is the coolest thing I have ever
heard. Art and beauty essential to democracy. May the Palace of Fine Arts rise again, you know, even greener and even better, you know, ladling beauty out of the cauldron of death. That's so crucial. Ami's got our closing for us, but is there any blessing that you want to conjure? You, oh, in touch with the Age of Wizards, David Gallo?
No, just like that. A realization, I think, of, and to be able to clear, I just wish people could clear their minds of the everyday things that we struggle with, because I think it helps you with a perspective on the world around us. And, you know, things like the role of money and power. And I just think of the all things that we talk about natural, that's the one thing that enters into it that I think is not, you should not be able to prosper because of aggression. Right now there are, there are the defense industry. This is great for the defense contractors. Yes. All these, have some missiles here, have some bombs. You have some of these. It's horrible. You know, it should not be allowed. And but I wish that people would have just to be able to have the clarity to take a look back. And, you know, I don't think everyone should be a scientist, but to be able to appreciate and think about what we're doing to the ocean and the atmosphere. It comes down to pollution, really. Something we can all do something about is not to put more in the air than we absolutely have to, and not to put more in the water than we absolutely have to. And those are the kinds of things I wish that people can actually enjoy their lives, enjoy music, enjoy love for once, you know, unrestricted.
Right. No, and I can't help but, because you brought in this crucial, important thing, which we will touch on right before we're arousingly whatever, which is this war. I mean, Putin is financed by oil and gas, right? Sanctions mean nothing. So, you know, hosting Bill McKibben and Akaya Windwood the other week, it's very clear, you know, oil and gas, no. I like Greg Palast's, we try things. You know, he said Venezuela could bring Putin to his knees. If the U.S. government negotiated with Venezuela, recognized their government, Venezuela could flood the market with their oil reserves, drop the price of oil, you know, and suck the chi out of Putin's war machine. It's not simple. Bill McKibben said, no, that's not how I would do it, because we would. But it's like, but we want that kind of thinking. You know, we might not be able to do how, but we do know that the end of oil and gas is clear. It's a war economy. Yes. So however you can resolve that, Ami, as we hand it to you for our finale, but for everybody, again, feel free to undulate and spiral heart, blessing, solace, protection, you know, to those in Ukraine, to those in Russia, to Zelensky's words, "O mothers of Russian soldiers, do you love your children more than you fear your government?" For all of us, do we love our kin more than we not fear our government or anything else. I mean, again, what is primal on this equinox? When George Bush started the war on Persian New Year, this time, these 3 days, this whole time sacred to all life, and I hand it to you to for the spiraling blessing, oh beautiful Ami.
And the one who's gonna take care of it is the spiraling of the mama. Agonlona wade in the water. Agonlona yale wade in the water, children. I said wade in the water. God's gonna spiral the water. Oh, the mother's gonna swirl all the water. Said now wade in the water. Wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna spiral the water. Oh, the mother's gonna spiral all the water. See those children dressed in red. God's gonna spiral the water. Well, it must be the ones that the ancestors led. The mother's gonna swirl all the water. Well, see those children dressed in white. God's gonna spiral the water. Must be the ones headed off into the night. Oh, the mother's gonna swirl all the water. Said, now wade in the water. Wade in the water, children, now wade in the water. Well, the God is gonna swirl all the water. Well, see those children dressed in green. God's gonna spiral the water. Well, it must be the ones that ain't never been seen. God's gonna spiral the water. And see those children dressed in black. God's gonna spiral the water. Must be the ones choosing not to come back. Oh, the mother's gonna swirl all the water. Come on, wade in the water. Wade in the water, my children, wade in the water. Oh, God's gonna spiral the water. Oh, the mother's gonna swirl out the water. Oh, glow. Yale, yaluma, oh. Yale, yaluma, oh. God's gonna swirl all the water. Oh, the mother's gonna spiral the water. For the river, she is flowing, flowing and flowing. The river, she is flowing out to the sea. Oh, mother, carry me, your child I'll always be. Oh, mother, carry me down to the sea.
Whoa, whoa. Thank you. Thank you, team. Thank you, all participatory democratic animists. Thank you for all this good work. Thank you, David Gallo, representing the Age
of Wisdom. Thank you for having me.
Oh, that's a great pleasure. Thank you, Ami, always. And thank you, everybody. And I think we're good, right? Yes, I think we're out of here. Okay, team, go forth and be spiraling woofy. Woof.
Swirl that water, y'all.